أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد والثناء لله رب العالمين، وصلى الله على سيدنا محمد وعلى آله الطاهرين الطيبين. One of the important topics that is a very hot topic has been one for some years or even decades. One that is concerning to people from different backgrounds, different parts of the world, believers, non-believers, Muslims, Christians, people on the street, politicians, on the media and elsewhere. And everybody, or a lot of people at least, are interested on commenting about it and hearing about it and reading about it. Of course, less so at an intellectual level, unfortunately, is the topic of Wilayatul Faqih. A buzzword that once heard, certain people feel at home with it and they feel attracted to it. And no matter who it is that's speaking positively about it, they would be attracted. And certain other individuals, once they hear that word, they're turned off completely. And they turn away, and no matter who it is and how much respect they had previously, as soon as they hear this word from them in a positive platform, then that's it. The respect is gone. So there's a lot of different takes, there's a lot of different feelings towards this amongst believers as well as amongst politicians that are not even Muslim. There's plenty of talk on this concept, sometimes about the concept in and of itself, and other times about a certain application of it, or one can say the only real and full application of it in the Islamic Republic of Iran. Some have an issue with that, some have the issue with the concept in general. Now, it's important that if we want to have a take on it, if we want to comment on it for anyone, it's important that first we have an understanding of what this concept is, those who support it to the full extent of it, what their proofs are, how they have come to such conclusion, how they attribute this to the religion, and those who seem, or at least we hear, that they are not supportive of it. Let's have an understanding of what they don't support of this, amongst the ulama, of course, and what problems they have with this. And after hearing and understanding all of that, then it will be, I think, just for us and allowed for us to start to think about it and maybe come up with an understanding and a conclusion and a view in regards to, and say, I agree with this, or I don't know if I want to agree with this. And maybe even for some say, I wouldn't want to agree with this. So it's important that we have an intellectual discussion on this and to gather information about it instead of just speaking based on hearsay, based on illusions about what this is, which for the most part, I think what happens is this. Somebody says something on the media about it. We have a certain perception of it because of what the media has painted of it, or because of some of the people that we hear talking about it. And based on that, we draw a conclusion, which is not accurate and it's not acceptable. So what we're going to try to do, inshallah, if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala allows us and blesses us and helps us to do, we want to try to go over this topic in a more intellectual way, go over and explain what this concept is, what the history of it is, where it came from, how it is attributed to Islam, what sources talk about this, what the ulama have said about it in the old days, in the recent times, and so on and so forth. What we're going to try to cover in this session, the first one, is why is it even important for us to go over this topic? Why is it relevant for us to study this and try to come to an understanding in regards to? Well, there's a couple of reasons that we want to cover in this session about why it's important. The first, the fundamental reason why it is important for us to cover this is at least there's a claim that this is an Islamic principle. It is a concept, it is a teaching that Islam has given us. It is a guidance that has come from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It is divine. It's part of the religion. if this is true, then we are not allowed to reject that. We have the verses of the Holy Quran and Ahadith and reason. The name Islam, the word Islam means submission. The religion of Islam as a complete package is either accepted or it is rejected. If one wants to pick and choose and say, I like this part of it and not the other, I agree with this part of Islam and I don't agree with the other part of Islam, knowing that it is part of Islam, then they have rejected the full deal. We can't pick and choose. Yes, if we come to an understanding and say, this concept, whatever the concept may be, whether it's wilayatul faqih or anything else, like wilayatul takwiniyah of the Ahlul Bayt, like the wilayatul takwiniyah of the Ahlul Bayt, or anything else that it may be, we may study it and say, I don't believe this to be part of Islam due to and based on a certain reason, or based on the idea that there's insufficient evidence of it, then all right, that is acceptable. But before we have done that, before we have covered a subject and looked at the reasons why it's considered divine, why it is attributed to Islam, before going through the verses and the ahadith, if we just want to use our logic as human beings, our incomplete logic, because logic dictates that we need to look at the sources, but some people unfortunately neglect that idea. So, if we want to look at it from our own perspective and say, I like this idea or I don't like this idea, I think it is good or I think it is wrong, I think it is acceptable, I think it should not be part of Islam. If we want to do that, then we are addressed by the verses of the Holy Quran that say, Allahu adhina lakum am ala Allahi taftahoon. Did Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala allow you to speak on that topic, or are you attributing lies to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and to the divine? If we want to say something is our opinion, I think this is something that is good or it is bad, that's one thing. But to say that this is part of Islam or it's not part of Islam is a different thing. And of course, even the first one where we want to say we agree with it or we disagree with it from a personal perspective, as Muslims, again, the verses of the Holy Quran tell us that if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has told us that something is right or something is wrong, then we have no right on our own to say that it is right or wrong other than what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has said. We need to submit to what He has said. So if there is such a claim, then if we want to say this is Islamic, it is what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has told us, it is a teaching of Islam, a teaching of the Holy Prophet and the Ahlul Bayt, we require proof and evidence. We need to know the verses and the ahadith, the explanations for it. And if we want to reject it, and if we want to disagree with it, or say that I don't see a Islamic responsibility in regards to it, then I need to also have proof with regards to it. So in other words, from an intellectual perspective, we are either going to agree to it, or we are going to disagree with it, or we're just going to leave it and say, I really don't care about it. Any of these decisions that are made from an Islamic perspective are important. You need to have proof for it. If you want to believe it, if you want to disbelieve in it, if you want to just consider it something that does not concern you, it is something that you need to have proof for why. You have to have reason for why you want to take that path. The other thing is that if this is Islamic, if we're going to cover this topic, inshallah, if it's in reality something that Islam has prescribed and it is a teaching that Islam and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us to put into practice, then that means we have certain responsibilities in regards to. We can't say, I don't have this responsibility. We can't say, I don't care. It will bring about certain responsibilities. If it's in fact something that Islam has prescribed, if we want to give the example of prayer, I can't say that, well, I don't want to believe in it, If the prayer is wajib, then it is wajib. And if you don't go and learn about that being wajib, it's not going to change the fact that it's wajib, and it's not going to remove the responsibility from you. You're just not going to implement that responsibility because of the lack of knowledge. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us through the Ahlul Bayt in the Ahadith that on the Day of Judgment, we're going to be held responsible and we're going to be asked, why didn't you fulfill your responsibility? And when we say we didn't know, the question is going to be asked, and why didn't you go and learn? So there might be, at least potentially, certain responsibilities that we have, and we need to go through this and to try to understand if there are responsibilities or they are not. This is a second reason. And a third reason why we need to discuss this, we need to cover this, have an understanding of it, is a little more pragmatic. And that is, let's say we come to the conclusion, let's say it is correct that we don't have sufficient proof. Let's just say we don't have sufficient proof on the concept of Wilayatul Faqih, or at least it's not clear for us. Then, even if it's not clear for us, what has happened, what we see practically happening in the world, is that there is an agenda to go against and to discredit the concept of Wilayatul Faqih. There's an agenda and an effort to discredit the practical implementation of that in the Islamic Republic of Iran. There is an effort, a serious effort, to discredit the leadership in the Islamic Republic. There's a serious effort by different governments, different agencies throughout the globe, to make sure that the Muslim Ummah, the believers, are not listening to and are not connected to that leadership in the Islamic Republic. There's a serious effort. If we want to go over the evidence in regards to that, it'll take too much time. If you open your eyes up, look at the media, try to analyze why, what's the business of the media interfering with the views of the believers and the Muslims, whether Wilayatul Faqih is Islamic or it is not. What is the business of the Christians and the Jews and the atheists with regards to this? It's none of their business. We have to come to that conclusion. But why are they discussing this so much? Why do they have such a problem with the concept of Wilayatul Faqih? Why are they constantly bombarding not only the concept but also the leadership, the one who is implementing this, Ayatollah Khamenei? Why is this happening? If you go over that, look at the history of it, look at the effects that the Islamic Revolution has had, look at how this has limited the influence of the Western powers, the superpowers, the so-called superpowers, the effects that it has on their allies in the region, and the awakening that it's caused in the masses, you would realize that the reason why this effort is there is that this is very dangerous to their objectives, to their interests in the region and in the world, their worldly interests, their interests as those who want to subjugate the people of the world to steal the resources, the oil, the jewels, the minerals, all the resources of the world, and put it at their own disposal and being in control of it. They realize that this leadership and the people following this leadership limits the sphere of their influence in controlling the resources of the world, and that is why they make it a point to try to undermine this leadership, or at the very least, to limit the influence of it by convincing people or giving them a bad impression of it and making them want to move away from this leadership. Even if we say and we come to the conclusion that we don't have sufficient evidence to make this a religious issue, it is understood by all the people, whether they are those who accept Wilayatul Faqih or not. Everyone talks about the importance of leadership amongst the Muslims, whether we call it Islamic leadership or we just understand it as a need, as a human need, and we don't relate it to religion. Nevertheless, everybody talks about leadership. Muslims, if you're talking about Muslims in America, Muslims in Britain, Muslims in Australia, Muslims in Europe, Muslims anywhere in the world, anyone who is involved socially and looks at the Muslims and where they're standing and how they're dealing with things, their status in the countries that they're in, everyone talks about leadership. The necessity of having some leadership. Well, that's exactly why, even if we put aside the religious perspective of it, if the Muslims of the world understood their potential influence on global issues, not just regional issues, on global issues, if they would have and if they would gather under a leadership that is pious, that knows Islam and knows politics, knows how to deal with those who try to manipulate the minds of people by giving them and feeding them misinformation. If a person has those qualities, if we all unite under that leadership, then the impact that we can have and the influence that we can have globally, much less regionally, is going to be enormous. So what this is going to help us, inshallah, do is that even if we don't come to a conclusion in regards to it being something that is divine, something that comes from revelation, at the very least, I hope that it clears up our understanding of it such that we don't have grudges against the concept of Wilayatul Faqih, and we don't have grudges against the implementation of it through coming to an understanding in regards to, without falling blindly, without going and accepting a view without reason. No, we want to do so going through the ahadith, going through the verses of the Quran, and going through logical reasonings such that anyone from any background can understand, inshallah.